This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I'd say I'd go flip them for Sam Darnold right now.
Reference to Sam Darnold, right? It's only a 5 second cut. It says 57 seconds. Oh, okay. All right. There was a pause.
That was right, Brian Baldinger?
Yeah, Brian Baldinger just now on the morning rush. You asked him. It was a hell of a question. What would you do? Would you give Brock Purdy top five money? And I think we're all in agreement that we want to pump the brakes on that money. But he said he'd flip him for Sam Darnold right now.
So this is
unsolicited. He would flip him for Sam Darnold right now. Let me get these out the way.
Yeah,
Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. 888-957-9570 is the number. Would you flip? Would you flip Sam Darnold for Brock Purdy? I got my thoughts on it. I have thoughts on it. But Baldy said he would. And then I asked him on the back end, and he kind of said, well, I think about it.
Well, the question that I asked him, and I want to make sure we give the full context, was, hey, John Lynch comes to you, and he says, Purdy's camp, and I'm being, I guess, aggressive with this, Purdy's camp saying they will accept nothing less than top five guaranteed money. What's your recommendation to them? And he would, you know, think about some of the options. See, I don't think it's as cut and dry as you just pay him whatever he wants and give him a blank check. And,
no.
You know, like, I think there's a lot that goes into this thought process. It's like when people say they want to buy a house, it's like, all right, well, what can you afford? You know, and what are your needs and where are you at in life? And how many more years do you think you can work? And what's in your retirement plan? And do you have a family? And like, there's a million questions, you know, and what you might need and what I might need are going to be totally different. We know that what Kyle Shanahan needs at quarterback is someone who's extremely cerebral and can throw the anticipation routes over the middle with deadly accuracy. And Brock's proven he can do those things. There are some limitations in the offense that also kind of highlight some of his limitations, you know, throwing beyond the numbers and things like that. But to me, the bigger thing was just the overall arching Baldy being down on Brock. This is someone who has been so high on Brock Purdy for so long. And not that it validates how people feel, but it's like, all right, well, then I'm trusting my eyes because my eyes are telling me he doesn't look like quite the same player for a variety of reasons. deteriorating talent, confidence, the shoulder, which he referenced, might be an issue because clearly the ball's not coming out the same way. It's just he doesn't look like the same guy, and that presents its own alarming issues.
He's kind of down on him going to I think signs of Baldy not drinking the Brock Purdy Kool-Aid because he has loved Brock Purdy. But the signs of Brock Purdy and Baldy kind of wavering on him was the beginning of the Baltimore game or the week of the Baltimore game. And you were out that week. And Spadoni asked him, you know, do you think he's the MVP? And Baldy said, well, I got to wait. I have to wait to see what he looks like against Baltimore. And he looked like crap against Baltimore. There's no denying it. He looked awful. And that was his worst game probably as a professional quarterback. Now, going into this season, I have a hard time saying Brock Purdy's been garbage or this and that because context matters to me. And I understand football is the ultimate team sport and there's guys in and out of the lineup. But there's no doubt Brock Purdy against Kansas City did not look good. Against Arizona, he was inconsistent. Against Seattle, obviously, to make a throw on 2nd and 11 to seal the game. He didn't make it. He airmailed it. Last week against the Rams, it's the worst I've seen him since the Baltimore game in that L.A. Rams game. But to flip him over Sam Darnold, let's pause for a second on that. Let's get into that. Because Sam Darnold was just in the building for a year. And I remember the dialogue because I didn't watch the last game of the season. There was a Warriors game the day of the L.A. Rams Niners game to end the season. Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold. And I was like, I'm not going back to watch that. I'm getting ready for the bye week, playoffs. You know, I was like, I went through it a little bit, but kind of casually. And I was like, whatever. I'm not going to have any real assessments on that. Backups are playing. Guys are in and out of the lineup. Whatever. Darnold's cool. I've seen enough of Darnold. But the rhetoric after that game was, oh my God, Sam Darnold's terrible. Oh my God, Sam Darnold, are you kidding me? Oh, my God, we're in trouble if Sam Darnold plays.
Well, he had multiple opportunities at the end of the game to put together a drive. And Carson Wentz put together a drive at the end of the game, and Darnold kind of fell apart.
No doubt. No doubt. And so now here we are a year later. And Baldy said he would think about flipping Purdy for Darnold. He would think about it because we gave him a chance at the interview. End of the interview because I was stuck on. I was like, wow, we're out on Purdy just like that. How many people would flip Purdy for Darnold?
Just straight up?
Straight. Just don't even think about the money because who knows what the hell Sam Darnold's going to receive? Who knows what Purdy will receive? Sam Darnold's agent's probably thinking, man, when you put Justin Jefferson around him or you put some premium weapons around him, he has the arm to make all throws. And by the way, how did Darnold look to everybody yesterday?
He looked okay. Is it a cop-out for me to say I really want to see what he looks like in the playoffs?
No, it's not a cop-out because the playoffs will determine a lot. It'll be his first. But see, to me, if he does struggle in the playoffs, I'm not going to say, oh, well, that's the Sam Darnold we all know. I didn't say you did. I'm just telling you how I'm feeling. If he does struggle in the playoffs, I tend to rate quarterbacks, okay, it's their first postseason. It's tougher. You're playing against great defenses. You've never been in that moment before. It is just different. It's why NBA teams, for the most part, when see them, it's rare that you see an NBA team come out of nowhere and just win an NBA championship. It's usually a process to it, right? You lose in the first round, you lose in the conference final, you lose in the second round, then finally you win a championship. We've seen it with all the greats, whether it's Michael, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Steph, KD. There's a process to winning the ultimate prize because you just haven't been there before. And that happens. So, me personally, it's going to be tough for me to say, man, Sam Darnold sucks. What does it look like? Does he just completely crap the bed in the playoff game? Because the playoffs are a different beast.
Yeah, but for me, the NBA, the margin of error for the better team is just so much wider in a 7-game series. In these one-offs, and Dan Campbell alluded to this last year on the podium after losing to the Niners, like, nothing is guaranteed in the NFL. These one-game scenarios where the margins are so razor thin and the bodies break down so quickly, anything can happen.
Anything can happen, but you get what I'm saying? No, that first go-round, it's tough for quarterbacks.
But if he throws five picks in the first three quarters of the game,
he threw five picks in a wild card game. Minnesota Vikings. Remember that?
Yeah, I also remember him putting together two of one of the greatest playoff runs ever.
After the fact.
Yeah.
Again, his first go-round, look at Eli's numbers in his first go-round. He threw five picks in a wild card game.
But you're not asking me a body of work for a career. Right. You're asking me about, like, in a singular game, who would I trade for? Like, if he looks serviceable
in a playoff
game.
I didn't even ask that question. You asked, what does it look like in a playoffs? And I said, well, he may struggle in the playoffs. I don't think I want to come to a sweeping judgment.
Okay, but if he completely implodes, then yeah, I'm looking at him because this is about getting back to the
playoffs. Did you look at Eli different after the five interceptions when he threw it to Minnesota?
I was never high on Eli, and he completely turned me around after beating the Niners in the rain.
You could completely flip it. Peyton Manning, his first go-round in the playoffs.
But
boy, the boy struggled.
You're asking about next year. And so that's why I'm focused on not body of work, not careers, not 20-year runways. I'm like, next year. So like if he looks completely terrible in a playoff game, yeah, I'm like now I'm going back to Brock. And I know it's like a one-game sample that I'm basing this off of, but there's not a lot to go off of Sam Darnold. He has 1 year of excellence. He has like 50 games of being very mediocre and subpar. And so like I'm making a rash decision based off of one game. Like I'm putting a lot into that game.
How about this though? Because the same argument I'm making for Purdy is like, boy, you don't have Ayuk, your offensive line's a joke. You don't have McCaffrey, you don't have Mason. Can't we look at Sam Darnold the same way, say, boy, he was a New York Jet and that organization was an absolute disaster. And who was he throwing to? Can we name a receiver with the New York Jets that he threw to?
No, but Bonte, so we're doing career year stuff here. Like, he's had a career year.
But I'm baking into the fact that I know what's baked in. But no, maybe it's not a career. Maybe this is who Sam Darnold is. Maybe he wasn't Sam Darnold, the real Sam Darnold, because he was in New York with a bad organization, with a bad offensive line, with a bad running game or whatnot. I think Sam Darnold could be good.
So are you doing a deal?
I don't know if I'm doing a deal or not. I have no idea. I have no idea if I want to do that deal or not.
Well, then what would make you want to do that deal?
But I didn't say I wanted to do the deal. I don't know. I have no idea at this moment. All I'm just trying, we're having a conversation here about quarterbacks going to the playoffs, body of work, what does it look around them. He goes to Carolina. He got his job taken in Carolina by Baker. Yeah. He got his job taken. We've seen a lot more bad with Darnold, but also I sit back and say, you know what? The situation wasn't the greatest. Okay. All right? The coaching was terrible. The defense was terrible. The offensive line, there's all these baked-in equations, so that's why it's tough for me to say, that's why there's the Golden Four who can really lead a team, and everybody else is just in this spot to where you need things around them to function at a high level.
There's an argument, and I wouldn't be one to make it completely because I think it depends on your circumstance, but like there is an argument to say like I'm only paying those top five guys and no one else. And it's an interesting concept. I think it's it's rife with unknown and – you could hit the lottery with a Desmond Ridder like we watched last night and just be and like get everyone fired, you know?
Right.
You could conceivably bounce around and sign a Geno Smith and be stable for the time being, but I think those have ceilings. Like so I think we need to come down this. Like if you're asking me Brock or Darnold, even if he has a singular great playoff game, I'm probably still going Brock Purdy. Still going Brock Purdy because to me there is something to be said about doing it over multiple years and being, good for multiple years.
Obviously, the Niners have always been intrigued with Sam Darnold. There's multiple rumors about the Niners traded for Sam Darnold from the New York Jets. It never happened. So when Sam Darnold did come here, there was a lot of people high on that. I was like, boy, can Sam Darnold actually take this job? Can Sam Darnold do this and do that? And a couple training camp practices, I saw Sam Darnold. I was like, wow. I remember Ludman after one training camp practice walked up to me. Who do you think was the best quarterback on the field? I asked him first. And he got Trey Lance. I said, nah, Sam Darnold was the best quarterback on the field. It wasn't even close to me.
Brock
he threw an out route to Brandon Ayuk. I was like, wow. Wow. But at the same time, Brock has put in the body of work. But he also has had the better resources around him. Now, you ask in the playoff game, can you reserve jump into the playoff game? I'll throw a hypothetical out. What if he throws three interceptions? What does the three interceptions look like?
Well, I think the three interceptions diminishes his value, which to me means maybe he could be had for cheaper.
But those interceptions could come off of a deflected pass.
Well, of course.
It could come off of a receiver running the wrong route. It could come off a receiver slipping. So that's why in football,
but this is where
I think context matters so much. It's not just, oh, he threw five picks, let's fire him. You know what I mean? Oh, he's not good enough. Because I'm sure a lot of people in New York said that about Eli. Next year, he wins two Super Bowls.
I have a hard time thinking Darnold will evolve into Rich Gannon later in career. But, you know, other things have happened. I thought Baker's career was over. But, like, this is where you tell me to, like, remove the money. Like, no. All of these evaluations for the guys that aren't in Tier 1, I have to evaluate the money.
So, paying Purdy, I throw this hypothetical at you then, since you want to play this game. Purdy, $30 million, Darnold, $20
million. Well, do I have to trade for Darnold? Well, no, yeah, but this is part of it.
Darnold's going to be a free agent.
Part of it.
Darnold's going to be a free agent. He's going to be a free agent.
He's going to be a free agent, and I can sign him. And could I flip Purdy?
He's going to be a free agent.
Would go.
He's on a 1-year deal.
Then I would again, and I can flip Purdy in this situation. Then I probably, if those were the options, but I don't think Purdy's signing for 30. It's probably more likely Purdy is looking for 45, 50 million, and Darnold's looking for 30, 35 million. And if they franchise tag Darnold, now I have to trade for Darnold. And I'm not surrendering draft capital and paying him the money currently. I'd rather just pay Brock and stay the course.
The only way you have to give draft capital for Sam Darnold is if Minnesota franchises him. Yeah, that's it. And I don't think they're going to franchise him and to pay him all that money, because then I think another team will back off and say, yeah, I'm good.
I keep coming back to, and this is where I don't think there are a lot of suitors for Brock. Not that they wouldn't trade for him. I just don't think there are a lot of teams surrendering high capital and giving him the amount of money that he's looking for. When Jalen Ramsey was going to get traded, the Rams were like, we'll give you 2 firsts and we'll pay him a boatload of money. You know, when Khalil Mack was available, we'll give you multiple firsts and we'll pay you a boatload of money. I don't know how many teams have $50 million ready to go for Brock Purdy and are willing to surrender multiple 2s and a 1 or multiple 1s and a 4th or something like that. Like, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Do you want Brock Purdy to be your quarterback next season?
For next year, yes. But I also want them to bring in some stuff behind him, because that's how the league is right now, and I don't view him as a surefire lock right now.
All right,
right
let's
now.
Go to the calls.
Right now.
I'm
hesitant.
Let's go to the calls.
I freely admit it. I'm like back and forth on this.
Let's go to George in Los Altos. George, what's happening?
Tell us. Is today April 1st?
No.
Because I can't believe we're having this conversation.
You know, go ahead, George. I'm with you. I think it's premature, but you know what? This is what everybody's talking about. They're talking about the quarterback position and the money and whatnot. I don't care about the money right now, George. I'll just speak for myself. I think there's no substance there right now until we see what the roster looks like, what does the cap look like, who's moving on, who are you trading or whatnot. But I'm just basically boiling down to this. Do you want Brock as your quarterback for next season?
And the answer to me is absolutely you do, for a number of reasons. And in my view, take a look at what the kid has gone through since we drafted him as the last pick. He gets hurt in an NFC championship game. He then comes back the next year and wins an NFC championship game. And then he goes to the Super Bowl. And I think he played well in the Super Bowl, okay? It wasn't his fault.
I agree.
That those offensive linemen went the wrong direction. So to me, and I've been watching a lot of talk about him and so forth and so on, he's still learning. He's still learning. He right now, his weakness is he's not good against man coverage. He's great against the zone. So they're going to have to teach him, Kyle's going to have to teach him next year about how to deal with man-to-man coverage and cover zero. But this kid, most importantly, the team loves him. They love him. They rally behind him. They believe in him. And that's a big, big intangible that you really can't define any other way but to give the guy the respect that I think he's due. Do I think he's worth $60 million? No. Do I think he's worth 50? Yes. So I think he's our guy. To me, it's not even close between Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy. And that's just my opinion, fellas.
All right, George, let's go to Adrian and Hayward. What do you think? Darnold a better option than Brock Purdy?
Hey, what's up? Yes, I believe so. I believe the Niner offense is very limited with Purdy's lack of arm strength. Since the tape got out on Christmas, they're 8-10. I believe it's 15 interceptions, 7 fumbles, stuff like that. Physical limitations. He's not going to wake up one day and have a strong arm. Defenses have caught on. They're implementing the Jimmy G defense, press man coverage, and they're daring Brock to beat me, to beat you. And he's not going to do that. Sam Darnold has a stronger arm. I'll say he's a little better than Brock. He's not a whole lot better. But he's definitely going to give us some more options.
Good call, AJ Shask. Is it on Brock that he can't beat man coverage, or is it on the wide receivers who can't beat man coverage?
Like, there was a play late in last night's game, and most people probably didn't see it, but Drake London catches a ball near the sidelines. I'm going, boy, would it be nice to have a 6'3", 6'4", wide receiver who can run. I mean, right. The catch radius that you give a guy when you have that kind of dude. You've seen kind of glimpses of it with a guy who can't run that well in Juwan Jennings. And I feel like Brock does a great job. Like, oh, I'm just going to throw to him.
Right.
Like, he's covered. I don't care. I'm just going to throw it to him. And I trust that he's going to make plays. Mm-hmm. And I like Juwan. But realistically, how many teams is Juwan the legit two on?
Right.
You know, the legit two.
Not many.
Not many, right? Not now, many. On this team this year, I feel like he's been our number one, wide receiver one, because of injuries and Debo's depreciation. But, like, God, and like that's where, like, the Ricky Pearsall draft pick is just a head-scratcher to me. I wanted a 6'2", 6'3 guy who can line up on the line of scrimmage and just run.
Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett.
I mean, there were a bunch of guys. Adonai Mitchell, I wanted to see them draft. You know, boy, and I don't even know if he's good.
Yeah, no, your boy in Jacksonville, was it Brian Thomas Jr.?
Looks amazing.
They compared him to Brandon Ayuk. Boy, he looks like he has more speed than Ayuk. So, so when we say Brock Purdy can't beat man coverage or press man, I got to put it on the skill guys and not get open. Hey, skill guys got to get open here.
Here's the hard part of where, like, when you're building a team, you know, they only have so many draft picks, and they have a lot of needs, right? And so you only have so many resources, and they've dumped a lot of resources, picks, and money into wide receiver, and I still feel like they need another wide receiver. Isn't it crazy?
Now, if we're talking any trades, can you trade for Jamar Chase and give him the money? If we're going to talk about trading,
so we'll have $120 million allocated to wide receiver.
You know what? The hell with it. Why not?
I'm with you.
You know, anyway.
I have a hard time thinking that Cincinnati's going to
they're not
going to
do that. I'm just getting goofy here. Yeah, I'm getting goofy.
It's crazy, though, that you've spent money on Debo and DraftKings, spent money on Ayuk, and paid the highest paid for a wide receiver three in Juwan Jennings, drafted a first-round pick, and wide receiver's still a need.
Boy.
So is O-line. So is Edge.
Yeah, I know. You know, the more and more I think about it, I'm not flipping Brock Purdy for Sam Darnold. I'm not doing that.
So you're not going to do that?
I'm not doing that. Darnold's solid. It is a great reclamation project, a great story. I know there's a lot of people who would do it. My former broadcast partner would do it. There's no doubt about that. I thought of him instantly when Baldy answered that question.
I'm very skeptical on Darnold in general. Not that I'm expecting him to just, you know, fall. My question is, like, can you do it again? Like, I had the same question with Brock Purdy. Can you do it again? Oh, he's falling a little short this year, right? And, the part of what makes the Golden Four, as you keep referring to it, they do it year after year after year. You know, Baker's had a tremendous year this year. I thought he had a really good year last year. Can he do it a third year? You know, then I think he will catapult himself up into that upper echelon.
And I know we don't judge Mahomes by the stats, but even Mahomes has had his ups and downs at the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
Josh Allen last year, I remember the dialogue with Josh Allen last year. It was like, yeah, we don't know about Josh. We don't know about Josh. And now everybody's like, wow, did you see Josh Allen make that throw to James Cook? Did you see him make the throw to Keon Coleman down the sideline? Josh Allen's pretty good, but even he went through his ruts. Let's go to Dr. Hustle in San Jose. He did, though.
He talked about it. 5,000
I hear that.
40-plus touchdowns.
Trust me. Chesky,
for eight straight years.
Chesky, I know. But last year, when we were having a conversation about Josh Allen on the show multiple weeks, people were like, yeah, I'm a good off Josh Allen. He's too much of a gunslinger.
Say that. I don't think that's the national.
I don't know. Dr. Hustle in San Jose.
What's going on, fellas? Look, I'm always listening. I haven't been calling. I haven't been posting stuff on social media. I've been trying to keep my blood pressure down. But this conversation finally made me crack, and I had a call. You are crazy to think that you switched Brock Purdy for a guy who used to see ghosts, a guy who's never played well until he got on this offense with unbelievable wide receivers, a great tight end, an offensive-minded coach. Man, Brock Purdy has done nothing but been a great quarterback. This is Sam Darnold's best year. He still has three more interceptions than Brock Purdy. He's only 2.4% better completion percentage. Come on, stop with that nonsense. Let's go give the man $55 million. Those are the doctor's notes.
The doctor.
I mean, he has 29 touchdowns this year. I'm not trying to hang on.
Yeah, but the completion percentage, Joe, that's what he wanted to. Completion.
He was 24-40 last night.
Okay.
And believe it or not, his rating, because I don't like QBR. I don't care about QBR or stuff like
that.
But
he's got 30.
But it was 48.5, mm-hmm. and rating was 74. Now, it does help to have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and now TJ Hockenson is back in the fold, and he's playing very, very good football. Sam Darnold's having a career season. Is his season this season better than Brock's last year? I wouldn't say it's close. He's having a solid season, no doubt. Contract year, but there's a lot of people. 888-957-9570. Look, I've been on record saying I don't care. When Sam Darnold first signed with the Niners, remember he first signed with the Niners? And everybody said, yeah, he's going to compete for third string. I was like, yeah, you're out of your mind. Sam Darnold's here for a reason, because Shanahan likes him. I'm not scoffing at the notion that Sam Darnold could be the quarterback of the 49ers next year. Would I do it? No. But I see the vision from Shanahan. I see what, if they want to go that route, I see the vision. So 888-957-9570 is a number. Would you flip Purdy for Darnold? We'll play the sound coming out to break. Brian Baldinger said he'd think about it. Flipping Sam Darnold for Brock Purdy. And there's context behind that as well. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Cub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Right, you better hit those brakes, Monte.
Damn, I'm so ready to talk. Steve Kerr and the Warriors will take on the Grizzlies Thursday. I do want to get into the Warriors in the 9 o'clock hour. Late to talk to Tim Kawakami. He said some interesting things about Jonathan Kuminga. He's touched on the Schroeder trade as Dennis Schroeder will make his debut with the Warriors Thursday in Memphis. Ironically, last week in Memphis, he had some words for Taylor Jenkins, and there was a little spice there. Some spiciness. But Baldy said this, and I'll let you set this up, and then I'll play the sound, Shasky. You asked Baldy what in the 7:30 hour?
I asked him, I said, hey, look, you, John Lynch gives you a call, and he says, hey, Brock Purdy's camp, whatever, agent is saying, we're going to sign nothing less than top five money guaranteed at the quarterback position. I need some help on this, Baldy. What would you recommend to John Lynch?
And here's what Baldy had to say.
I'd say I'd go flip him for Sam Darnold right now.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
Why wouldn't I? So Minnesota, like, look, let's just think about Sam for a sec. He sat there as a backup all year. He learned what a first-class franchise, game planning, how to build a team. Like, he saw that for the first time in his life. Now he's with Kevin O'Connell, who's an elite play caller, with a very, very good offense that has a real style to it, and he's flourishing. Minnesota doesn't have to commit anything to him right now. All they're doing, I talked to the general manager 2 weeks ago, Quezzy. All just to play it out. They've got a quarterback they drafted. They don't have to give him top-flight money, or they could trade him. Like, I would be having a conversation with Minnesota to see what it would take to get Sam Darnold back. He's a bigger, stronger, more athletic, I don't know, but he's bigger and stronger than what Brock is. Or can you play with both of them at a modicum of salary and afford both and, I don't know, have a competition?
Competition.
This league is so crazy. A year ago, some of the opinions I held on players that I thought were definitive and the way that they fluctuate so much, it's just, this league is crazy.
Baldy, on the market for Sam Darnold. Because I was like, well, what could he command? Like, now I want to know what Sam Darnold could command. That's where my mind went to after that. What could Sam Darnold actually ask for?
Would Sam Darnold be taking the Atlanta Falcons and winning that division? Yep. You know, would he be an improvement with that staff in Carolina? Yep, he'd be an improvement. Would he be an improvement in New York at either team right now? Yeah, he would be. I mean, you know, you just go around the league and you go, There's going to be a demand. Now, can the Vikings, like, they've got a rookie quarterback that's injured, but he's on a rookie contract. You could afford both. And if Sam beats him out, then he sits like Jordan Love sat. When time has come, you know, like, you make the move. But he's going to get some good offers out there.
So Sam Darnold, which is insane, because last year he got the one-year $9 million deal. $9 million.
When the Niners signed him, couldn't you say, Darnold, that is, his value was probably at its lowest?
It was probably at its lowest. It was at its lowest.
Okay. Now, could you also say it's probably at its highest right now if he was a stock?
It is. And this is why, if it's not Shanahan going after Sam Darnold, and look, I want to make it clear, I, Bonta Hill, do not want to move off of Brock Purdy before somebody aggregates me, eclipses me. I do not want to move off of Brock Purdy. With that said, if Sam Darnold doesn't have Kevin O'Connell, and Kyle Shanahan, what does it look like? What does Sam Darnold look like with Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson calling the plays in Atlanta? I don't know if he looks this good. Does he? And by the way, he's thrown to one of the best wide receivers in pro football, Justin Jefferson. I mean, that helps tremendously. Oh, that helps tremendously. He's got Aaron Jones in the backfield.
He dropped the ball in the red zone yesterday. I mean, I thought could have been a walk-in touchdown.
I mean, so he's got that going for him. What does it look like with the Las Vegas Raiders? What does it look like with the Cleveland Browns? So it's the situation, too. Situations matter. And Brock Purdy's in a great situation. Now, Sam Darnold does know about this situation. How does he view the situation now? Would he want to leave Minnesota? I don't even know if we want to leave Minnesota. Maybe he wants to compete with J.J. McCarthy. Maybe that team says, no, we need to keep Darnold. The veterans in there say, no, we got to keep this guy. He's it, especially if he plays well in the playoffs. But boy, flipping Purdy for Sam Darnold. How many Niner fans would entertain that?
It's interesting because I agree with you right now.
888-957-9570.
The highest his stock is, Sam Darnold, is like probably right now. Close to it, right? Maybe before he came out in the draft, it was higher, but it feels like his stock is at an all-time high. Purdy's stock is pretty much at its lowest.
Right?
I think league-wide, fan-wise, and even then, you know, we're splitting hairs, and it's a tough decision for some people, right? So it's an interesting exercise, and that's why I do think, like, all these games matter on Purdy's side. Even though they feel mathematically eliminated, these last three games are big. Feel like all these games are huge for Sam Darnold. Every pass is millions of dollars in one direction or the other.
Let me ask you this.
Gosh.
Let me ask you this.
I wonder what Shanahan's thinking. That's what I think.
888-957-9570. Did the Niners improve with Sam Darnold at quarterback over Brock Purdy? How much improvement, how much better at the quarterback position are they if Sam Darnold is taking snaps under center? Because, again, what if the defense is the same? This defense has taken a step back. Sam Darnold has a great defense in Minnesota, so he doesn't have to do everything. In a way, they asked Sam Darnold to do what Kyle Shanahan asked Brock Purdy to do. Don't lose the game.
Well, one thing when I look at when it comes to ball security is, like, are you an explosive playmaker? Do you give me a ton of points and big explosion plays? And right now, like, the thing that Purdy hung his hat on, not only did he give you explosion plays, but he limited the turnovers. And I've referenced it over 50 combined touchdowns and 17 turnovers in his first 25 games. But since then, it's been the reverse, 22 turnovers and only 20 touchdowns. And so I'm not getting the big pop plays. I'm not getting the ball security. And so it looks really bad these last 18 games. Is that the aberration? And the other stuff is really who he is? Or is it somewhere in the middle?
Right.
And I probably would say it's probably somewhere in the middle. And, like, I'm looking at Sam Darnold right now. He's giving you big explosion plays.
Well, that's the one thing after the Rams game. I mentioned to you, I said, the deep ball. He will throw that deep ball. And we saw that week 3. Or was it week 2?
Yeah.
When the Niners took out the Vikings. He hit Justin Jefferson for that 97-98 yarder. So he does take the top off the defense, no doubt about it. But he's a gunslinger as well.
I mean, he'll throw you the boneheaded red zone interception like he did to Fred Warner in that early season game. He'll have those turnovers, but to me, he kind of makes up, at least this year, he's made up for it with the big explosion plays. And it's like, that's the area for me that's the most concerning with the Niners this year. And I go back to that. I do think something's up with the arm. Not only do they not have the person on the outside, but they've had guys with 3, 4, 5 steps. And Brock has just flat out underthrown him.
Yes.
And that's the part that's really alarming for me. It's like, man, is the body starting to give out? Is it just a one-off where he's hurt? Because I saw Jimmy Garoppolo never get right physically. And then it affected his psyche, and it affected his confidence, his discernment, and then it just never got right. Sometimes that happens with guys.
I would have an issue in this sense, if they did entertain this, Darnold, and moved off of Purdy. It's the same way I felt after 2019 with Shanahan, and this goes back to Kyle Shanahan. If you don't like the quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo, you're basically – your actions are telling us that you're kind of down on Jimmy, then why not go get your guy? And he had a chance. He told Brady no. Told Tom Brady flat out no. I'm going to stick with Jimmy. Yeah, you're going to stick with Jimmy, which is that crazy, right? Which is crazy. And he stuck with Jimmy for a few more years. Then, you know, he makes the trade for Trey Lance. Basically telling everybody Jimmy's not his guy. And then next thing you know, we got Jimmy on the baby field throwing passes because you don't want to trade him. So you're like, oh, well, we still have a good quarterback in the building. We have a great quarterback room, blah, 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 blah. Right?
Fast forward
to 2025. We have 3 games left. You mean to tell me that they're going to flip Purdy for Darnold if they did decide to do that? Coming off of that Super Bowl where you thought, And you said it to me, like, man, that was the difference between great and good. And I, Mahomes is great, and Purdy's good. But you mean to tell me coming off that Super Bowl in which you thought Purdy maybe could have played better? I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan here. Why not just say, you know what? We know we're going to have to entertain contract conversation with Brock Purdy a year after next. Let's just move on to Darnold now. We know what we have because we've seen what we've seen on the practice field. We've seen all the drills. We've seen the way he throws a football. Matt Maiocco comes to mind where he says, boy, he's got the strongest arm I've ever seen in Santa Clara. Stronger than Steve Young, stronger than all these guys. Like,
well, just you know
the
why?
Most impressive throwing arm.
You know why? And this goes because of the money. Like, Brock was making $1 million. And they had a million guys with their hands out that they had to pay. So you thought you could run it back one more year, pay all the quote-unquote Avengers, and have the quarterback making $1 million. Like, I know we want to remove the money, but I really believe the way that this team operates has been, it's very much like, are you a good football player and how much do you make? Like, it is very methodical in terms of price point. And that's how they make a lot of their decisions, is because of the price point.
Let's go to Uncle Gene. Uncle Gene, what's happening?
Hey, fellas, you know, I've always loved Baldy. I love him more than ever now because, and this is going to surprise you, I totally agree with him with one reservation about looking seriously at Darnold. I'd want to see how Darnold looks the rest of the year, particularly going in the playoffs, see how well he does, see if he's got that, you know, competitive gene, you know, and the tightest of situations, how well he does. But if Brock Purdy's going to demand $60 million plus a year, and this gets back to the points you keep making, Joe, you know, then you're going to severely limit what you can put around him. And Brock, when it comes to the question of can he win, of course he can win. He showed it last year, showed it the year before, but he had a cavalcade of stars around him. And that's what he's going to need to get to and win a Super Bowl. And if you give him $60 or $70 million a year, that you're not going to have enough to pay enough quality players would be my fear. So, yeah, I would be open to the idea. I mean, if you could get a Sam Darnold for $30 or $40 million and he takes you deep into the playoffs this year, you know, and he's got the physical skills and the size
I'm
that
surprised
Brock is never going to have.
How much better is Sam Darnold than Brock Purdy? How much would you improve at the quarterback position?
Well, I think that still remains to be seen. But what he's shown this year, you put the what he needs around him. He's got a great arm. He seems to be seeing the field. He's operating very effectively. I don't know. You know, but I'm
so
afraid.
We don't know. Hold on, Uncle Gene. We don't know how he would look, but we'd be willing to take a chance on an unknown, other than a known commodity we've seen within this offense and Brock Purdy.
All right. But here's what I'm concerned about, particularly after that last game of Purdy's. As you said before, Bonte last week, you said, you know, quarterback's got to be able to play in the elements, and he has some serious issues with that. Okay, both quarterbacks struggled in the first half, but Stafford did fine in the second while Purdy still struggled. Now, maybe he's got an arm problem, but then Baldy said, hey, maybe it's a chronic problem. We don't know. So there's a big question mark there. And then making that horrible decision that basically ended the season to throw that interception, I don't know, man. I'm starting to have some questions about that.
How did Sam Darnold, thanks for the call, Uncle Gene. How did Sam Darnold do in New York City in the elements of MetLife? I'm just throwing it out loud, kind of just like not asking
you
specifically.
Knew
I didn't watch a lot of Jets football.
Me neither.
I mean, I knew what Sam Darnold was. It lost a lot of them at USC. I saw him in a Pac-12 championship game, for crying out loud. And he beat Stanford in the Pac-12 championship game. But even in that game, he drove you crazy. He threw a bad pick or he threw a bad pass. They should know out of the back of his own end zone. He'll throw a bomb. You're like, wow, look at that arm. I wonder how he did in the elements in New York City. How did he do in the elements in Carolina? Because it does get cold out there. And if we're talking about Brock and weather games, well, how does Darnold look at weather games? Right now, it does benefit him. He's playing in the dome. He's playing in the dome, and he may see the great thing about Darnold this year. He's in a great spot because if Minnesota wins out, they're going to clinch home field advantage, which means he doesn't have to play in the elements.
Well, he wouldn't even if they went to Detroit.
If they went to the Super Bowl, it's in New Orleans in the Superdome, so he wouldn't even have to play outdoors.
Well, good for him.
So,
you know, I mean, I wish it was us, but
well, I'm just saying, so we won't even find out if he can play, because I'd be interested to see him go to Philadelphia or something.
I mean, look, if the guy has like three consecutive fourth quarter comebacks where he's, you know, in shotgun, four wide the whole time, slinging it down, like he can win everyone over, you know, like that's why it's called sports. You know, no one expects these certain things. But
all right.
I keep thinking of coming back to like. One of the seminal moments of this organization and the regime, this regime in this organization, was when they made the financial and football decision. We can't afford DeForest Buckner at that price point, but we can get back a first round pick and we can keep Arik Armstead and we can keep Jimmy Ward. And like that's how they viewed that whole transaction. It wasn't, hey, is DeForest really good? Hell yeah, he's really good. But he's asking for an amount of money that would sacrifice us three players because we can get a pick and we can get these two other guys under contract. And I just think that's how they operate across the roster. And I don't think it's as cut and dry as, is Brock Purdy good? Well, yeah, I think they really like Brock Purdy. And I think that they're doing the math in a variety of ways as they're kind of breaking down on the whiteboard what are their options. And I don't think it's a hard truth. Like, I think in their heart of hearts, they'd love to have Brock Purdy play on the $1 million contract that he's on for next year. I just don't see that happening. I don't see how Purdy's camp is like, yeah, go to OTAs on a $1 million contract with a bum elbow and just no guarantees. You just play the year out the NFL.
Shanahan mentioned that with Tim Kawakami day before training camp. What does it look like when you have a quarterback on a rookie contract as opposed to paying him $40 million? Was the rest of the roster? So he hinted at that from day one. Before training camp this season, he discussed that and talked about the financial ramifications of giving a quarterback. But Sam Darnold at $40 million. Oh, I gotta scratch my
head. Was there a point in time, like for me there was, like there's guys that they just kind of like shut you up and prove you wrong. And I look at Matt Stafford as an example. I was like, what has he ever done? Like what? Everybody would hype him up in Detroit. And I thought he was just a fantasy, you know, just a fantasy guy that threw up a bunch of hollow numbers. And then I watched him go on that magical run, and I viewed him differently since that. And not that he's done anything real spectacular since the Super Bowl, but that run made me view him in a completely different light. And maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I feel like, wow, he is a guy that can win you games with his right arm when the chips are up against it and when he doesn't have all his weapons around there. And so, like, you can be won over. Simultaneously, you could play yourself out of money. I watched Joe Flacco just destroy everyone in the playoffs and put together one of the most magical seasons of all time, and then he just lost it and wasn't the same player, and they overpaid for him.
Or maybe that was an outlier, right? Maybe that was the outlier.
Could have been. But this is kind of what
it could have been his
sports.
Nick Foles story.
What?
It could have been Nick Foles all over again.
I didn't see Nick Foles winning that Super Bowl.
I actually picked Philly to win that game.
Did you? I didn't.
Well, yeah, I didn't like the Patriots defense. Blown away. I didn't like the Patriots defense that year. The Patriots defense was suffering. And their offense was a little limited, even though I scored 40 in that game. I know Brady, but I was looking at that Eagles defense line that day, and I was like, the trenches matter to me. The trenches matter. I look at the trenches first. No matter what the quarterback is, what does the defensive and offensive lines look like? That's how I pick playoff games.
Remember Malcolm Butler, too. They benched him that game.
They benched him that game as well. I look at that. So playoff games are a little different for me.
Yeah, last year Mahomes is playing? Yeah, I'm taking Mahomes. Remember that at the beginning? I said they're going to represent the AFC, and everyone thought I was crazy.
No, but I also, what I did with Kansas City was overlook their defense. Well, I did not think their defense was that good.
No.
And their defense led them to that Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Like, it was the defense, and that defensive line and that front seven. So trenches matter to me, man. Trenches matter. Let's go to Clay and Millbrae. Clay, what's happening?
Hey,
you're on the roast.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on?
I think our judgment of Sam Darnold's a little skewed. I think we should do a thought exercise and put Brock Purdy on the Minnesota Vikings and put Sam Darnold on the 49ers this year. I think Brock Purdy would be an MVP candidate if he was thrown to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones running the ball with that defense. We saw what Sam Darnold was on the 49ers team last year, and there was no time where we wanted Sam Darnold to start over Brock Purdy. He put Brock Purdy on the Minnesota Vikings this year. He's an MVP candidate, and we're talking about flipping Sam Darnold for Brock Purdy the other way around.
I mean, they did have Kirk Cousins last year and were, you know, not as good. Like, even I know Kirk Cousins got hurt, but they had a good version of Kirk Cousins last year, and
he got hurt.
You know, they weren't even close to what they are now. They've revamped their team, and having a healthy Justin Jefferson is a big part of that.
And that's the key. He wasn't healthy last year.
He's so good.
He's the difference.
Aaron Jones is good, but they got a lot of free agents too. I was watching this graphic that they showed. Yeah. They got cornerbacks that are free agents.
No doubt.
But Byron Murphy, I'd love to have him.
That's the key, though. Justin Jefferson was hurt for a long time. He didn't even play the game against the Niners where Sam Darnold threw for a bunch of yards. So, I mean, remember when Kirk Cousins threw for a bunch of yards? What did he go, 35 or 45 against the Niners in that game? He lit them up for over 400.
He looked incredible.
He lit them up. So it is a good point because I remember during the third game. So now it's bringing me back. And we're going to go to a special guest in just a second, courtesy of the River Riders.
Special guest.
Now I'm thinking about it now. It just hit me like a ton of bricks.
What's that?
During the three-game losing streak, Niners lose three in a row. And Purdy has a terrible fourth quarter against Minnesota. Plays like crap against Cincinnati, although he didn't have any practice time because he had a concussion. And, you know, Cleveland wasn't that good. I remember coming in here saying, how far away are we from Sam Darnold? And people lost their minds. And that's where I got the label the Brock Purdy hater. So it's like, well,
I don't think you got that label, but continue.
Well, you want to see my DMs?
No, ignore them.
No, easier said than done. It's not just, and I don't reply. I don't care. I'm just telling you what people were saying to me. I check my mentions like you check your mentions. I'm not replying to them. I'm just telling you what they were saying to me. You're the Brock Purdy hater. Because I suggested that how long before you look to Sam Darnold after the three-game losing streak?
Look, man,
they never did. And so where I'm going at here is that don't you think Kyle Shanahan knows football pretty well? Don't you think Kyle Shanahan's a smart coach? And don't you think that they have good talent evaluators inside that building?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have let Sam Darnold walk if they thought he was better than Brock Purdy. I don't care what the price point was. If they said, Sam Darnold, we get you on 1 year, $9 million, and we could move off Purdy, I think they'd bite that bullet if they thought that Darnold was better than Brock Purdy. I truly do.
I don't know. There is also an element of, like, you can't just move off the quarterback after a Super Bowl loss in overtime unless that guy just throws up all over himself. Like, they kind of alluded to that during the Jimmy G, Tom Brady stuff. Like, we couldn't move off a Jimmy at that point in time. And, well, like, it's sometimes bigger than you.
Sometimes you can, though. Minnesota did it with Case Keenum. He took him to an NFC Championship game, and they're like, yeah, we got to move off of him. Okay. We got to move off of him. You go to a Final Four, you get moved
off
of. You
can admit that's pretty, you know, rare.
It is rare, but teams do it. Let's go to our special guest, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. I'm surprised he's up right now because Sacramento in line one, Joe Spadoni, Sacramento took the tough L yesterday. They gave him 21 points in the last 4 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. I came here to talk football, and this is what you want to bring up, Bonte Hill.
What's up, Casey?
I'm not over it yet.
It's Kenny
Carroll. I'm not over. I'm hot.
Hey, I know you're hot. I was hot. And Kyle Draper was hot on the call, too. And Ducimo was hot on television as well. They were disheveled, man. I enjoyed every second of it as my baby girl was sleeping on my chest. What's up,
man,
Kenny?
Man, come on, man. Look, first of all, we can go there real quick. I'm still pissed off about last night. Dude, I said they got a 5-game home streak coming up. I need at least 4-1. They lost the first game of it, so now I'm asking them to win 4 straight. So, That has me hot under the collar right now.
Kenny,
but it is good to see Buddy Hill doing his thing.
Than King's talk we need on this show.
No, it's just asking. Well, you know, he don't watch basketball.
We can talk dub talks, you know what I'm saying? It's good to see Buddy Hill doing what he does out there. Shout out to Buddy Hill. Big up to him.
Boy, you're praying for his downfall. You're a sick individual.
My guys, man. What's up, fellas? What's up, man? Casey. You know I'm listening to the Morning Roast, man, and I'm listening to the Brock Purdy talk. And look, I'm going to tell you like this. Brock Purdy, he's getting his 50, 55. I say it's going to end up being about 57, 58 because you got to get hired in Trevor Lawrence. If I'm his agent, we can't even talk if it's not hired in Trevor Lawrence. Ooh. So I'm going to get about 57, 58 or so, and I'm going to give him that. And there's one reason why. Number one, because there's something that I believe in organizational stability. And are we really going to go through this for the fourth summer in a row?
I know.
Nick Bosa, Debo, Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams. Like, at some point, it's like, look, let's get this guy signed and let's move on with our offseason accordingly. I think that'll happen. But there's one thing that people aren't talking about because people are worried about the money and they're worried about, you know, I wouldn't pay him this and all this other stuff and it's going to hamper you. And I get it. But there's one thing that people aren't talking about that I think they really should be talking about, and I think they really should be doing it in those walls in Santa Clara. I think they need to put Nick Bosa on the trading block. I'd move on from Nick Bosa. That's a lot of money for a guy that's not giving you the production that warrants that type of money that he's getting. He's the highest defensive player, paid defensive player in the game, man.
Yep.
He's, hey, I'd move on from Nick Bosa.
Here's the problem with that, though, and I get saying that out loud. Just look at all the kinds of trades where you send multiple picks for an elite Pro Bowl level, normally Pro Bowl level player. You pray to God one of those picks becomes three quarters of as good as Nick Bosa. Like, you'd still have the same issue on your defensive line. Yes, he's grossly overpaid. He's still a top 10 to 15 guy on a defensive line in the league.
But you're paying him to be the number one guy.
There's no question.
And Kenny, I would add, not only is the production down, 7 sacks, tied for 38th in the league, 26 tackles, 1 forced fumble, which is tied for 57th, 1 interception, tied for 73rd. The pick is a bonus. But also the leadership. The lack of leadership I'm seeing from him is alarming to me. 2 years 100%. In a row. One, you threw Steve Wilks under the bus, and everybody blamed Steve Wilks for everything. Well, I said, be careful what you wish for, and we got Nick Sorensen. So, I just excuse 100%. After excuse after excuse. The leadership baked in with the lack of production. I don't know, man. I don't know if I trade Bosa, but it's very interesting you bring that up, Casey.
I would definitely look into that. One of the things that I've been saying since July that I thought was the biggest problem with this team is you go in that locker room and not everybody was committed to winning. Winning wasn't the biggest priority to everybody in that locker room like it had been the last couple of years. Now, it's professional football. I understand you got to get paid. You got a family to feed. You got to make sure you maximize what you get. Brandon Ayuk, you had a contract situation. Trent Williams, you had a contract situation. I'm not disparaging you for that, but we have to call a spade a spade. You were more worried about money than you were about winning.
I agree.
And then you go down the line, and you look at somebody like Deebo Samuel after one of the biggest offensive outputs of the season. And I love Deebo Samuel. That's my favorite 49er on the team outside of Fred Warner. I love Deebo Samuel, but I got to say what it is. After the biggest offensive output of the year, you tweeting about how you still got it and that you're not washed. You're not worried about winning. And then you talk about Devondre Campbell. We've seen that, but getting all the way back to 97, one of the other biggest wins of the season, you want to hop in front of a camera and wear a hat. And I don't really care what the hat says. I'm not here to talk about that. But it goes to the theme of what I've talked about. Winning was not the most important thing in that locker room. And John Lynch, when he went down on that sideline and got Devondre Campbell, I think in his mind is, we got to stop all this. Like, we got to get back to winning, being singly what everybody's focused on first and foremost in this locker room. And I think you talk about the leadership. Nick Bosa played a big role in that. With what he had to do after one of the biggest ones of the year.
You know, Belichick has talked so much about who you pay and how much they're getting paid in your locker room matters, right? Like, big deal. He never wanted to have before they started doing specific slotted contracts, he never wanted to have a first-round pick making more than one of his veterans that is a trusted person in that locker room because of the dynamics and stuff. And he has this line, and I might be butchering it, but it's something like a pack of hungry wolves always is out hunting, and a bunch of fat, overpaid cows end up getting slaughtered. And it's something to that effect. That's a Belichick line. And he's basically saying you want to have the right mix of people that when you pay them, they're still hungry. And it does feel like they lost a little edge with some of these guys getting paid. And also, they're older. You know, it's the NFL.
Yeah.
Guys get old quick.
Yeah, 100%, man. Hey, man. You know, I love y'all, man. I'm coming to the dental office. I think they go there like at the beginning again. I'm coming to the dental office on a Sunday night, baby. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna walk right past Vontae Sett, man. I'm gonna be right there with my Jason Williams jersey.
Well, you do floss every day.
Hey, listen, Bully's been talking about that Pros versus Joes event, and I can't wait to introduce you to him and say, this is the clown who was talking all that trash to Kenny the Jet. When you looked at Kenny Smith and said, your name is Kenneth today. Oh, it's an all-time episode. It was worth the $199, Casey.
Hey, man, I think we had a mole in there, man. The dude from Jersey, man, I think he was part of the production team, man, making sure we didn't get that money, man. But look, in real talk, Moley was one of the nicest people ever. Moley was so nice through that whole thing. I was just a random, literally a Joe and he treated me like the nicest guy, man.
I can't believe you're on that show. That is so amazing that you're. And by the way, you and D'Lo, can y'all stop wearing Louis Vuitton and Gucci into the radio station, man? Like, you guys, it's a fashion show on air.
I'm trying to keep up with D'Lo. You know, I'll go to Target and get me a nice little V-neck. You know, that's nothing but D'Lo. I mean, that guy, Gucci,
dude's got a Louis
Vuitton. I can't keep up.
Hey, D'Lo's got a Louis Vuitton Chesky, Louis Vuitton leather jacket. With this, I mean,
you wore a Versace shirt to your daughter's birthday party.
Yeah, why not?